Put down your baby and pick up a beer. Dad Jokes is back with a brand new episode. And Brandon, it's been a busy week. So busy that we're a day late, but we're back, we're here, and we're ready to talk about baby food. And I think that's a kind of a fun topic. I'm excited for today's topic, Brandon.
Yeah, it's something that as Bryce has gotten older, has been more and more fun kind of watching the different foods that we've given him. It made me sit and count the number of foods we'll go over a little bit later. But he's eating a lot. We track what he's eating.
I like it. I'm excited to hear that list because I have not heard that yet. But before we get into all that and kind of what's been going on with us the last week, let's start with a dad joke. I have a dad joke for you, Brandon. Are you ready for it?
I'm waiting with bated breath, Jerry. It's been a while since I said that.
That has been a while. But you know what, Brandon? My friend recently was bragging about his 3D printer. He kept talking about how it can print a gun, but I wasn't impressed. You want to know why?
Why?
I've had a Canon printer for years.
Pretty decent.
I thought it was funny. Very dad joke-ish, so I like that one. That's a good one to come back on. But Brandon, I know we spent a lot of time together this last week. We've both been pretty busy. Why don't you go over how Bryce has been and what's been going on in the Banks household?
Bryce was good to start the week off, and then it seems like a little cold kind of ran through the family. It avoided me up until like yesterday, actually, which is a crazy thing. I think it's allergies personally, but Kelsey had a bit of a cold. Seems like Bryce got that cold. So right now we've been having a little bit of a battle at night. It hasn't been horrible, but he's gotten to the point where he sleeps through the night pretty well. And he definitely wakes up. We got to pull out the old trusty snot sucker.
Oh, yeah.
Give him a bit to eat, and then he ends up going back to sleep. But you can tell he's just super uncomfortable, which is tough. And it's tough for me to come back to that because you and I have been gone for the last few days. This is my first time being away from Bryce, which was definitely missed him and Kelsey a lot more than I even thought I would. So it was a fun trip, but dad's out there. The first time away from the kids and the wife is a little tougher than you might give yourself credit for.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. It's kind of funny because, you know, we just had a mini trip. We went on a golf trip with some buddies because one of our friends is getting married, and I was kind of looking forward to it, excited, you know. But when I was saying goodbye to Peyton, it was harder to say goodbye and kind of leave her and Macy than even anticipated. And I was expecting it to be hard, but it was tough. I was definitely excited to get back. So that was a big deal. But other than that, Brandon, for us, it was a huge week. I know we've talked a little bit about this, but we've been on the podcast now for all of Peyton's life, and we've talked week in and week out on how she really, really struggles to sleep. She has to have contact. We've had to co-sleep. It's been a whole, you know, mess of a journey. And then randomly, right after we recorded last week, the day after, we put Peyton down. She went down fairly easily, slept for about a half an hour, woke up crying. And Macy kind of looked at me and was like, hey, maybe we should try doing a little bit of sleep training tonight, which I was surprised by because I've been kind of a proponent for it and at least trying it, seeing if we could have anything work. I've done a lot of research on it, and Macy's kind of been, nope, don't want to do that. So I haven't pushed it too much. So I was like, okay, we can try. So we kind of did what they call the Ferber method, which is where basically you put them down drowsy, let them get used to the surroundings near them, and, you know, if they start to cry, you don't go in immediately. You wait a certain amount of time, usually a few minutes. You go back in and you kind of comfort them. Usually you don't pick them up or rock them, but you comfort them by patting them, talking to them, singing to them, you know, kind of holding their hand, different things for about a minute or so. And then you leave the room and you keep doing this until the baby falls asleep. Well, the first night, Brandon, it went on for a while, probably an hour and a half. And I'll be honest with you, I was ready to give up and go on. But Macy held strong, and good thing she did, because Peyton ended up falling asleep and slept through the entire night. Then the next day, we did it again. She went to sleep about an hour, again, went through the entire night. By night three, it was like 12 minutes, and then she went to sleep and slept through the entire night. So definitely it was a good thing we did it, and now we're going on a week of doing it, and she's woken up in the middle of the night, I think twice, both times to feed, and has gone back down after that. So basically we've had from horrible sleeping to now almost a week of as good a sleep as you can hope for as a parent.
So what you're telling me basically is that Peyton is super clutch, because this coincided with you leaving for the first time and Macy being solo for a couple of days. So that it doesn't get much better from a timing perspective.
Well, it was funny too, because Macy actually texted me while I was gone one of the nights, like almost wanting Peyton to like come to bed with her, and I'm like, don't ruin it now, because she was kind of, you know, lonely, you know, I wasn't there, and Peyton's been in the bed with us for a long time now, so it was funny, you know, she was almost missing it. But it's been really, really good as far as sleep has gone. Tonight I put her down probably about 13 minutes, she went to sleep, then she woke up after about an hour, and then after about 10 minutes of crying, put herself back to sleep because she can kind of self-soothe now. So anyone out there that's maybe struggling, we tried the Ferber method. Every method of sleep training, or even sleep training in general, is not for everyone, or there's different ways to do it. I've read a lot of research on it. A lot of people say that it's actually good for the baby, teaches them independence and how to self-soothe, and it can help their sleep patterns, which can help them grow up to be healthier, different things. But long story short, it works for us. And almost every single person that's done it, and what they say in the books and all the research, is that night one's tough, night two's tough, and then about night three or four is when it starts to turn. And that's exactly what happened for us. So it's been great since then.
Did you guys notice any, or have you noticed any differences in her during the day?
Yeah.
Since she's been sleeping better at night?
Well, I was going to go into that. So we've noticed some big differences the last little bit, pretty much this last week, but I think it has more to do with the fact that she's quote unquote in leap five right now, and she has become insanely clingy in the last week or two. And Brandon, I know you always joke about how Bryce will reach for Kelsey and it kind of like makes you sad. Well, Peyton's never done that until this last week, and now she reaches for Macy quite often, and I don't know if it's because she still breastfeeds, or she just misses mom.
Shouldn't have left.
What it is.
You never should have left.
What was before? It was even before I left, too. So, but she's been doing it.
That's not the story I'm going to tell.
She's been reaching, but she does not want to be put down at all lately. She's been kind of fussy during the day, kind of cranky. A lot of the signs that come with a leap, basically. She's been doing them all. It kind of reads exactly how it says it's going to happen. It's been happening. She's just kind of been cranky and fussy during the day, doesn't want to be put down, and just, you know, a lot more clingy than usual. But nighttime has been great, but the day's a little tough, but we'll see.
You'll
what happens.
You'll take that right now.
We will take that. Today, I think, was a rough day for Macy because she was home with Peyton, and Peyton, I guess, was a lot for through the day, but we'll see as she kind of goes through this leap five. This is the relationship sleep. And how she does. And a lot of things say with the clinginess is like you just kind of got to be patient and go through it, and they figure it out because they start to get some of that separation anxiety and they kind of got to figure it out for themselves. So I personally don't think it has a lot to do with her sleeping, what's going on with her at night. I think it's just mostly that she's in this leap because it started a little bit before even the sleep training. So I think that that's kind of that. But that's been huge for us. And then, you know, other than that, you know, we had Mother's Day, which was great. Macy's first Mother's Day, so that was a good day. And like I said, we're just trying to figure out some stuff with this leap right now and what we can do to help that. Also, naps have been kind of hit and miss since we started this. Sometimes naps are great. She had a two-hour nap on Mother's Day. And then today, wouldn't it go down for much more than 20 minutes? But you have to do the same method when you put them down for a nap, too. But with a nap, pretty much if they wake up, you get them up. You don't keep trying to make them sleep. So,
and one thing I forgot to mention, Bryce now, which kind of coincides with our feeding episode, his top tooth and his bottom tooth, he's figured out that he can touch them together.
Yeah.
So he does a little chatter. I got a video today of him kind of clicking his teeth together, which was pretty interesting.
That's but awesome. Definitely. Yeah, Peyton can do kind of a sigh now, like a big sigh, like. So that's been fun.
Oh, get ready.
Oh, yeah.
That's a sign of things to come.
Yeah, she's she's got some new noises she's making, and she's definitely doing some new things. I think, like I said, the relationship sleep that she's in is kind of fun. We're trying to help learn some new skills. It's kind of when they can figure out, like, oh, this cup is hiding the ball. So you move the cup, you find the ball, and you can figure out, like, oh, if I put this toy on this toy, it makes a noise, and, you know, different things like that. Yeah. So I'm trying to do some of that stuff with her too.
Now, does she sigh every time you walk into the room?
No, but when she came to visit me at work today, just really briefly in the car, she did sigh at me. So she was not very happy in the car at the moment. So she did sigh at me, but she also gave me a smile. So I'll take that with a win.
That's perfect.
So Brandon, you told me you had a piece of baby gear to go over. Let's hear what the piece of baby gear is.
I got a whole set of baby gear. We're talking about feeding, and I got some pretty decent notes on what we're ultimately going to talk about. But I did want to mention just kind of naturally here what we use primarily when we are feeding Bryce. So what he's actually kind of in or using is a Num Num pre-spoon. So it's like a set of two. They're two little soft touch spoons. He really just chews on them at this point. But he can, we basically put the spoon in his hand. He digs for his food and puts the wrong end to his mouth all the time. And we have to readjust. And, but it's kind of from the beginning, we never really, I'll get into that in a little bit, but, as far as our process, but the Num Num pre-spoon is what we use. The bumpkin sleeve baby bib, this thing is clutch. So we basically take his shirt off. This is a bib with like almost like, I don't know what material it is. Kind of like a sporty material that you can just wash it down with. Kind of like a lot of the baby stuff is made out of. And but it has a tray.
Like a little catcher. Yeah.
Exactly. So as he's eating stuff and it will naturally fall down on his body, he can kind of leave the session clean if we're not trying to give him a full bath at the end of eating. And then the last thing, and these are my two favorite things, are his easy peasy. So just easy peasy, tiny cup and mat. And the tiny cup is my favorite thing. I know, I think I mentioned it before. It's just a little 2-ounce cup, but it teaches them like actually how to drink out of a cup, like before a sippy cup, things like that. And then the mat that comes with it just lays flat. It has a little bowl area where we put some of his purees and stuff like that. So that's Bryce's setup when he's eating.
One thing you didn't mention, because a lot of that stuff is great and we have a lot of the same things, but one thing you didn't mention are the, and I don't even know who makes them, I think Munchkin maybe, but the little bowls that suction cup to the high chair, those are clutch because babies love to grab and push, and we had a couple bowls that don't suction cup, and yeah, those can get knocked over and spill and cause issues, but the little suction cup ones go right to the high chair tray, and those have come in definitely clutch for us here.
Yes. So these have a little weight to them. So we have the suction ones, but the easy peasy mat is weighted down a little bit. It's hard for him to move it. So it just uses the same concept, just a little bit different method.
I like it. Well, I got a piece of baby gear, but I'm going to go over it a little bit later in the episode. But I do have a baby fact right now that I can share. I thought it was kind of interesting and relevant. But basically, Brandon, I found out this week that a newborn will urinate about every 20 minutes, but at 6 months, which Peyton's almost 6 months, it's every hour. So, you know, for changing diapers, that gives you kind of an idea. It also lets you know why, if your baby does sleep through the night, which she's finally starting to do, why their diapers are so heavy in the morning.
Heavy.
Heavy, heavy.
Heavy.
It's almost like Brandon, I don't know, it's kind of weird, but it's almost like satisfying how heavy and stuff they are, because you're like, yes, I got a lot of use out of that one diaper.
I'm glad you put it like that, because I do get like a, you know, this is why this podcast is so great, because like I never would say that out loud.
I just like, did.
But I do get like some weird sense of like,
it does. It's like, it's like, man,
this is solid. Good job. I want to dap him up when
you're right. Like you filled this diaper. You use it to its full potential. Yeah. Great job. You feel like that was like sometimes they pee and it's like,
you saved me a little money.
I changed the diaper, but I don't really know that there was that much pee in it. I don't even know if I should have. But in the morning, you're like, yes, not a drop more.
Yeah, this is like three day diapers worth of pee in here.
Exactly. So that is a good, and also again, that lets you know that the baby slept for a long time, because otherwise you would have changed him or her a lot earlier in the process. So that's
yeah.
That's always good. So that's my baby fact for the day, Brandon. I thought it was interesting, if nothing else.
Well, it got us talking about the satisfaction of heavy diapers. So well, if anything else, we have that.
And also a segment we haven't done in a while is Things Your Wife Says. I have a kind of a funny one. So we were gone for a few days. And I drove home, and when I drove home, I pulled in the driveway, and Macy was standing there with Peyton, and the first thing she said to me was, "Here you go," and handed me Peyton. So that tells you kind of mood that Peyton was in that morning. So that was something that my wife said to me this week was, "Here you go," not "Hey, babe," or "I love you," it was "Here you go." And then I think after that, followed that up. But yeah, so Peyton was a little cranky on Mother's Day morning, but she ended up having a pretty decent day.
Yeah, and got a two-hour nap out of it.
Yeah, exactly. So. That probably definitely helped. It wasn't too bad in the car or nothing like that because we were doing a lot of driving. So not bad all in all.
Perfect. So let's talk about some food,
Jerry. Talk about some food, Brandon. Yeah, we'll talk about a few different things today. The big thing is I think we'll start off with a lot of people ask the question, okay, if your baby's formula-fed, your baby's breastfed, when do you start giving them food or what they call solids? And most things that you'll read and most pediatricians that you'll talk to or hear from kind of say the same thing. It's 6 months is really when you're supposed to start really giving them solids. But they say at 4 to 5 months, you can start to introduce them if you want. But it's not supposed to take place of their bottles. So Peyton's 5.5 months right now. We started doing solids a few weeks ago. Introducing them, but again, it has not taken place of any of her actual feedings or bottles, however she's getting fed at the time. So it's more like to introduce them to different types of flavors and textures and whatnot, so that when you start feeding them more, that they are more comfortable with it. So that's kind of what I've read on the timing, Brandon. Do you have anything to add when it comes to timing?
Yeah, and even beyond like timing from a age perspective, look for signs with your baby, like they have good head and neck control. They can potentially, especially when you start introducing solid food, they can sit upright on their own. That they're showing an interest in the food that you're eating. Like that was a big thing for us with Bryce. We waited almost to the end of the recommended period. But it was, I mean, at the end, he basically forced our hand. Like it was almost like we got our dog Riley, who is like looking up at us from the floor, like, "Hey, that what you eating smell good." And I got Bryce looking at me, and he's moving his mouth like I am as I'm eating. And so we're getting it from both sides. But those are genuine signs that your baby is ready for solid food. So one, talk to your pediatrician, see what they recommend. As Jerry mentioned, it's typically 4 to 6 months to introduce foods of any kind, including like purees early on in like the fourth and fifth month. But places like the World Health Organization recommend the 6 month period. That's what we ended up going with, and it was basically because Bryce he could sit up and he was looking at us like, "Yo, it's time."
Yeah, and that's a good point. Head control. Looking at food and then, you know, trying to, you know, almost mimic eating are all signs that they're kind of ready. And then, you know, when you're talking about early on, it's important to remember that obviously babies typically don't have teeth, and if they do have teeth, they're not very functional. So, you know, when you're introducing solids, they're not really solid. It's more of a puree, or if you're buying actual baby food from the store, that's what it looks like, you know. So there's different ways you can kind of attack that, if you will. But we'll go into those in a second. But a couple things that they recommend early on is to kind of start simple. Don't get too creative or crazy. Make it one thing. So if you're going to feed them peas, feed them peas. If you're going to feed them sweet potatoes, feed them sweet potatoes. Don't do like spices and a bunch of different ingredients early on. Just kind of see what their palate is. Keep it simple. Also, you know, if you're giving them food, do organic, real type stuff. Not a lot of times that's more recommended than just store-bought stuff, or if you kind of make it, you know, like older stuff or anything like that. You want to go with the pure, high quality, good stuff, because it's not that much it's not that much time, or you're not using that much of it quantity wise. So you don't have to go crazy with buying expensive stuff, but you might buy one you know, organic apple or something like that.
Yeah, and along those lines, you mentioned kind of feeding the same thing. You want to feed the same food for a period. So our doctor told us, like if you're going to feed, like, peas one day, feed peas, like, day one, day two, give it a second. So you know if your child reacts a certain way to the food that you're giving them. You don't want to, like, feed, like, seven different things, seven different days, and then your baby has a reaction and you don't really know which food they reacted to. Because ultimately, a part of this is you're getting them accustomed to certain things, but there are also like nine different categories of allergens that you're potentially introducing your baby into. And for some of them, it's recommended to introduce it earlier so that they have some exposure to it. So they may not have a disposition to that allergy later on in their life. Just that's one thing to be careful with, and keep, just in case, don't be like me. We talked about this in a previous episode. Go out and just don't use this unless you talk to your pediatrician. Do not use this unless you talk to your pediatrician, but have some children's Benadryl on hand and save yourself the anxiousness of having to run out and get it if your kid's reacting a certain way.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned a couple things there, Brandon, but you talked about like allergens, and a lot of times I think people think, oh, I don't want to give my baby anything that might be potentially have a reaction to it, like they might be allergic to it. But actually some evidence and research shows that you should give it to them early on, because it can, one, help prevent an allergy from developing, but also so that you know kind of what's going on. Not that you want to shove peanuts down their throat or anything, but it's okay to let them try certain things. Just be prepared.
This is the Dad Jokes Podcast. We're going to acknowledge that sentence he just said is going to play back pretty funny if you go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
Keep going, Jerry.
Anyway, it depends on what speed you're playing back at.
Yeah, don't listen at 1.5.
I like it. There's a couple different ways, though, Brandon, that you can kind of attack, is what the word I used earlier, baby food or feeding your baby solids. And one of those ways is you can just buy some stuff from the store. Another way is you can make it yourself with pots and pans and blenders. Another way is you can buy a baby food maker. And then you can also buy some stuff that is online, different like stuff. There's different brands that basically ship it to your house and it's all healthy. Little Spoon is the big one that comes to mind, I guess, when I'm thinking of that. They're a company that if you just want to have good, high quality ingredients, not have to worry about it, get a lot of different flavors and have it kind of shipped to you based on where your baby is at in their stage of eating, they can do that all the way up to, I think they're like 4 or 5 or something crazy like that.
It's HelloFresh for babies.
It really is. And it's not the cheapest way to go, but if your life's a little crazy and you don't have the time to cook or you don't really want to get into that, it is an option. Obviously, you can go to any grocery store and also buy baby food. That's an option. A lot of times, though, people do want to make the baby food themselves, at least at first, because they know exactly what's going into it and what the baby is eating. What we did, Brandon, kind of our path is we were talking about feeding her solids, and Macy and myself kind of looked in the mirror and we're like, we both aren't big on cooking. We also don't have a lot of time, but we want to feed her stuff from scratch, from home. So what should we do? So we did a lot of research and I found a baby maker, food maker, that had a lot of good reviews. And I started, basically I put it in my cart and then put it into save for later. And I talked to Macy about it and we kind of were on the fence. And finally we were like, you know what? We're going to give this a shot because that seems like the best process for us. So what it's called is LV Food Maker, and it's on Amazon. And basically what it can do is you put your food in there. It can steam your food based on what kind of food it is, whether it's fish or chicken or vegetables. And then it will blend the food based on what it is also. And it's all ready for you. And then when you're done, it has a self-cleaning function and has a sanitizing function for it. And that has been...
most important parts right there.
Yeah, that's been huge for us because it makes it a lot easier. It's almost dummy-proof for us. And it's just convenient because, like I said, we don't have a lot of time. So it's that was what was key for us. And also, like I said, it's just simple. It really is simple. Like, hit this button, hit this button. So for all those listening, it's EVLA food maker. They make also spoons and cups and other baby food gear, stuff geared towards eating and things of that nature. It's a home, I guess the company's was started by a family, and they basically do everything themselves. It's not a very large corporation, but on Amazon, there's 5,130 reviews, and it's a 4.8. That was the thing that kind of drew my attention towards it. And like Brandon said, the self-cleaning, the sanitizing function, you can even sanitize like pacifiers and stuff in there while it's sanitizing. And then we started using that. And so far, it has been pretty dang good, Brandon. It's simple. You cut up the food, you put it in there, you hit the buttons, it works, it purees it great. You don't really have to do much. The self-cleaning has worked fairly well. Sometimes if you're doing like carrots and stuff, some stuff will get stuck and you might actually have to use like a brush or something like that and then re-clean it. But Peyton's had a number of different things. We've done butternut squash. We've done carrots. We've done sweet potatoes. We've done apples. We've done bananas. All of that, and it's worked for all of it. So far, so good. That's been our path. We use kind of an all-in-one food maker. What are you guys doing?
So it's a combination of a few things. Our thought process, one, we wanted to do a – Bryce is still getting milk. So that this is – I guess our thought process on this was that the he just woke up, actually, as we said. It's like he heard me say his name. The food before he's won, everything that we looked at – kind of said it's more for texture and exposure than like the actual nutrition of it and things like that. So we basically our process is a couple things. One, we combine like the puree thought process with baby led feeding. So he will get purees, but Kelsey home makes everything. And instead of having like the baby food maker, I actually ran that. You know, I've been trying to calm down our spending, but you talked to me about it, and I was like, this is actually something I could see saving her some time. But she has a process down pat with the food processor, where her mom homemade all her food for her back 28 years ago, 29 years ago, and she's doing the same thing. So ingredients from home, ingredients from the grocery store, she throws it in the blender, and Bryce has ready-made food on a daily basis from a puree perspective. And then we use a lot of different, like you have like those teething crackers and things like that Gerber makes that are kind of snack things for him as well. But feeding time is great. We fed him over 30 products that we've tracked. We use an app called Solid Starts that basically will track it for you. I think Kelsey paid like $10 for the year. So it tracks everything that you've fed them. But the other thing it does is actually it you can search the food and it'll tell you if it's an allergen or not and how to serve it to your baby. So that's an app that Kelsey uses daily, logs the food. And if you have a question on what you're feeding your kid, especially from like an allergen perspective, because you don't always know, then that's something that's an app that I would highly recommend. Like Bryce has had hummus. That's actually an allergen because it has sesame in it, which is one of those, one of the 9 categories.
So what's been Bryce's favorite and least favorite food?
So I would, well, one, we just gave him lemon like the day before I left. and that, he definitely had the biggest reaction to that. I would say oatmeal with cinnamon. He went through an oatmeal phase kind of early on. It was easy to feed oatmeal. And for a while, it was just kind of plain, bland oatmeal. And then his mom put a little dash of cinnamon in it. Keep in mind, we started all this after he was 6 months. He didn't have solids until he was 6 months. He was gobbling it up. He actually had a pretty good meal today. He had pasta with red sauce, like homemade red sauce and homemade pasta that his mom made for him. She didn't make any for him. I'm not complaining. She didn't make any for herself. She didn't make any for me. She literally made Bryce his own batch of like one kid serving of pasta and red sauce, along with the a puree that he had. But he really liked that. He kept going back for more.
Any least favorites?
I would say Greek yogurt.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about that before. Yeah, it is a kind of weird taste. I can get that. I'm on board with that, Bryce.
I don't like Greek yogurt.
I like it with stuff in it, but not by itself, like not plain. Yeah.
She mixed it with, so she would use that and she would mix it with like fresh fruit. But you could tell he thought it was sour. Like there was a difference in his reaction.
Right.
For like Greek yogurt with like strawberries in it. Versus, which doesn't sound bad, but versus like oatmeal with cinnamon. It does not seem like I think he's gotten used to it now at this point. But that, in doing some research for this topic, that's one thing that came up is I kind of wrote down like between a couple of different sources mistakes that parents make when they're feeding. And one thing that kept coming up was giving up on food too quickly.
Yep.
Like just because your kid doesn't like it. Like kids naturally have what they call a tongue thrust reflex. So if like you put your finger on like their lip or their tongue, they automatically want to stick it out. Sometimes you think that is a reaction to what you're actually feeding them. And it could be, but most of the time it probably isn't. They also have really strong gag reflexes. So they may spit up. They may react to the food you're giving them. It doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't like it.
Yeah. Peyton so far is like most of what we've given her. She really likes sweet potatoes and carrots. And she wasn't a big fan of bananas the first time we gave it to her, but I think it was more the texture because it was super runny and thin.
Bryce did the same thing.
But the funny part is we ended up giving her bananas and apples together, and she loved it. Like, she was all about it. So I think it was more of a consistency thing. We did give her avocado the other day, and she didn't look like a huge fan. And Peyton, when she doesn't like something, I think most babies are like this, but her face gets so, like, just like,
oh, yeah.
What in the world did you feed me? And her face was pretty great. Macy actually gave her a piece of egg at brunch on Mother's Day, and Peyton was not having it. She made like the most disgusted look ever, like, I don't know what's in my mouth right now, but I don't want it, and she spit it out. So
I wonder how many of these are going to stay consistent.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Like, we're going to keep introducing it, but like, so far the only thing that like I would say she clearly didn't like, as far as like we've actually made for her, was avocado. She just wasn't a fan, but we're going to continue to try to give it to her. You know, but the funny part is, speaking of giving her foods and tracking them, that's actually probably a pretty good idea, because one thing we're dealing with right now is it seems like the last day and a half, Peyton's been pretty constipated. She hasn't gone to the bathroom, which is very, very rare for her. And she seemed kind of, like I said, she was cranky today and upset, and we think that might be part of the reason. Well, we gave her sweet potatoes, and I think it might have to do with that, because I've read that can cause some constipation. And so tracking it can help with things like that as well, because there are some foods that help, like prunes and peaches and pears are supposed to help with your being regular, and certain foods block you up, like sweet potatoes. So
yeah,
that could be an issue, so something else to watch out for. But also talking about food, Brandon, when you make the food, and I'm sure Kelsey's the same way, a good thing to have at home if you're going to make food are those little jars. A couple things when you're talking about buying the little jars. One, we talked about it before, but food is only good in the fridge for 48 hours, in the freezers for a few months, but make sure you write on the top so you know when you put it in there and how long it's good for. But it's a nice way to save a little bit more when you are making the food. And then, like you said, Brandon, if you want to give them peas for a couple days in a row or sweet potatoes for a couple days in a row, you have it already made up. You don't have to rewash the blender 15 times. So not a bad thing to do there. But you want to know what you're giving her, and you want or him, and you want to know how they react. But you don't want to give up. That was a great point, because if you do give up, then they might be five before they try it again. You'll never know.
Yeah, you ultimately don't know. So that was one thing. A couple of things I wanted to go over. For us, it was important for Bryce to. This is going to sound kind of crazy talking about a 6-month old. but for him to control the process to a degree. And a lot of the things that you look up, there can be some negative associations with food and feeding time that will kind of present itself later on in life for kids based on studies. Now, I'm interested to see, based on how we are doing this, kind of how Bryce develops. But, I mean, we all know, like, the stories of, like, hey, you got to – kids are, like, being forced. And I'm not talking about necessarily at 8 months or 6 months, but at 4 or 5 years, hey, you have to eat this, stuff like that, or you make sure you finish this food or eat this food first. And ultimately what we're doing is trying to let Bryce control it. So even from a – we don't try to start off by feeding him, like – like, we don't bring the food to his mouth and play airplane, even though it's fun. And I've done it. But consistently, we might put the food on the spoon, but then we're putting the spoon in his hand. So he's learning how just the motor skills of bringing it up to his mouth. If we're feeding, like you mentioned avocado earlier with Peyton, we're cutting off really big chunks of avocado so he can grab the entire thing and kind of put it in his mouth and chew on it. So there are different ways and different philosophies. You got to find what works for you and your family. It's not like this isn't like a set in stone thing. But what we found the combination of this kind of, to work for us. But the other thing that I didn't, Kelsey's the one who kind of walked me through this, and I did a little bit of research on it. I don't like, his face getting dirty, like when he's eating. So my initial reaction would have been, and we had a conversation before we even start feeding them solids, but I would have been just like cleaning them up, because I mean the feeding process, he's having a good time. You could be talking 20-30 minutes, just you sitting there just kind of hanging out with them. It's actually important, based on a lot of studies, to not clean up like your kid's face, like, every time they're getting stuff on them or their body, stuff like that. Obviously, you're not going to leave it on there forever, but like constantly wiping their face off is kind of potentially teaching them bad habits, or having them not bad habits, giving them a negative connotation with food. So those are things. Babies need to you shouldn't try to limit the mess. Babies should touch food with their hands. They should smell the food, interact with the food, get messy, put it all over their face. Stuff like that actually helps out later on.
Yeah, Peyton loves to hold the spoon and eat. The problem is that she's figured out that if she tosses the spoon, she gets more. Yep. So she's doing that lately, but not on the tray of the high chair, but like in her lap, and or on the high chair itself. And it used to be like she would hang on to the spoon for a little while before she'd do it, so I could kind of guess. But lately, it's been like quick bite and toss. Like, and then whimper until she gets more. So we're working on that a little bit, but it is kind of fun. Another thing that we haven't mentioned too, Brandon, is we're talking about solids, we're talking about food, but when it comes to liquids, water, no water until 6 months is what they recommend. So do not give a baby water until 6 months, and then at that point, only certain amounts. And juice, don't give a baby until 1 year of age. So if you're wondering, like, hey, when can I get my baby juice? They say not till 1 year of age. So as far as liquids
that's sugar,
go,
sugar in general.
Correct, other than what's naturally in, like, fruit and stuff like that. Correct. But those are, there's definitely a couple different ways to do feedings, Brandon. We both kind of do the homemade process. But, again, if you're looking for a healthy, organic type of way to feed them, but you don't have the time to make it yourself or don't want to, Little Spoon has like a subscription policy. It's definitely worth looking at. I actually looked at it just to see. Also, there's jars of baby food at the store. There's organic food at the store in baby jars. There's different ways to do it. A few other points is when you're first feeding your baby, like we said, the first month or so, it's not supposed to replace breastfeeding. It's not supposed to replace bottles. And you're supposed to only give them like a teaspoon or two. You're not supposed to do like full meals. Teaspoon or two, because one, you want to see if they have a reaction, how they do. Two, because their body's not ready to digest that yet. I think that, like I said, Peyton might have had not only sweet potatoes, but maybe a little too much sweet potatoes yesterday, because I think that might be contributing to her stomach issues today. So that's shame on Dad, because I was feeding her last night.
But wait till it come out.
Yeah, orange.
It's gonna be a lot.
Oh, and it's gonna be orange. So those are kind of the feeding. But feeding's fun. It should be fun. You should try to find a consistent process with it too. I know we try to feed Peyton about an hour before she goes to bed, because then when we're done feeding her the food, usually we'll get everything cleaned up, and then Macy will breastfeed her, and then we have time to burp her before we put her down. That's our process. But it's kind of good to have a routine and what they expect. And then as they get older, then you start going into 1 to 2 feedings a day, and now you're giving them more quantity, and then you can almost start getting into replacing at least some of the milk that they're intaking.
Definitely.
But,
and make sure you're eating with them as well. It's important if your family is sitting down to eat that the baby is there and has something to eat as well. That's, they're watching you, so it's teaching them. They're going to watch your mouth. It's teaching them to chew, to swallow, things like that as well. So it's not always just watching your kid eat. If you're sitting down,
I don't know if Peyton wants to watch me eat. That might not be good for her eating habits.
You know, that's
you make fun of the
everyone,
way I
for fight. Everyone else. For well, Jerry eats his steak like he's eating a bowl of cereal. So, but for everyone else who's listening besides Jerry, it is recommended to feed with the family as opposed to that's away funny. From and make sure you have a seat or a high chair that supports them. That could actually help you out as mom or dad from a frustration standpoint. But a lot of high chairs are made too big, where if kid is falling to the side, either side, they're probably not supported. If their hands are up near their shoulders, they're probably not supported. And if they're like studies have shown, if you have a high chair where the feet are supported, or like right now we're using what's called an up seat, which basically it sits Bryce right on the table. His feet are supported. His posture is what it's supposed to be. That helps aid them in eating as well.
Good points. Good points. Well, I think that's a pretty good place to stop, Brandon. Feeding. I'm sure we'll talk more in depth about it as time goes on, because it's something that changes, you know, constantly. And I know every kid's different. I know I've mentioned it before, but my one sister has 3 kids. One is not picky at all. One is extremely picky, and the other one's too early to tell. But, you know, sometimes you can do all the things the same, and kids just have weird eating habits. So we'll kind of go through those as we go through the next few years. But, Brandon, I think it's time for you to hit us with a dad joke.
You ready, Jerry?
Oh, I'm waiting with bated breath.
Why couldn't the snake have a baby?
I don't know.
He had a reptile dysfunction.
I've used that joke before.
Are you kidding me?
You've done this twice now.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know if it was it was definitely a reptile. I've used that joke before. It wasn't that one was not long ago. This one was like probably in the last 10 episodes.
Okay, I actually vetted this in front of Kelsey. And neither one of us remember.
I know
that.
I did, because my mother-in-law, I think, texted me after hearing it and thought it was hilarious. I think
it is hilarious.
You've used my joke twice now. That's how you know God. I'm winning the dad joke contest, because
okay, the last one I used, I was like in a pinch. I actually had this in my notes for the last episode with the wives, and just in case we got called on, or we decided to do the joke. And I thought it was so funny that I brought it over to this week too. And
the start of the joke wasn't the same. I can't remember exactly.
Did
what it
you
was,
use this
the exact
joke,
punchline? Right? Definitely that punchline. So yeah, you're gonna have to go back and listen.
You, nah, I don't believe you.
I did. I'll have to figure
well,
out.
Well, I won this week.
Yeah, you won by using my joke. That's how you're trying to win now. Oh, using the ones God. That I won in the past. That is funny. I that's twice now in the last like 4 or 5 episodes.
We got to start keeping track. I got to start keeping track of this.
We do got to start keeping track. But I know this is a day late because we got back late. Next week we should be back to releasing our episodes on Mondays. I'm excited to see kind of where Peyton's sleep journey goes and if she gets a little less cranky. I'm excited to hear if Bryce kind of gets over his cold and what goes on with him. And what we're going to get into in the next week or two. But if you haven't liked us already on Facebook or on Instagram or followed us on TikTok or any other social media platforms, or written a review or any of that good stuff, please do. Tell your friends about us. Continue to give us good advice because we love hearing from each and every one of you. But so next week, we'll have to see if Brandon steals another one of my jokes. But until then, for Brandon, I'm Jerry.
I don't think you said a joke.
And you've been listening to Dad Jokes. Jerry's Dad Jokes.